the whole chapter, and I'm just going to preach to you a little while. Of course, I was saying I had about 16, 17 hours on the road by myself, and I will say I literally enjoyed it. I really, really did, and just got to just pray and talk to the Lord and praise His name, and as I was going along, this scripture throughout the time home, because I pull over some and read my Bible for a few minutes and then just kind of take off again and so forth, and came across this particular chapter and some things just kind of one particular verse, and we're just going to hit that in just a moment, just kind of stuck out at me, and it kind of goes along with praise, kind of goes along with just understanding that God is real good. And tonight I just want to read responsively. We'll stand and we will read the whole chapter of Psalm 84. Psalm 84, I'll read and then you read. We will read responsively verses 1 through 12. So let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 84, I'll read and then you read right on down to verse 12. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will see Selah. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a realm. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is he in thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for tonight, God, and we thank you for you being just a great God. Lord, you are so powerful. You're so gracious. You are just so wonderful. And God, we just want to praise you for a little bit tonight. And I pray tonight that you be pleased with this service, Lord. I pray, God, that you touch hearts, encourage hearts tonight. I pray, God, that, again, you bless the fellowship later on this evening with Ben. And as we think of Ben leaving in a few days, I pray, God, that you give him blessing. I pray, God, you give him safety. And, Lord, I pray, God, you give him a wonderful year. And, Lord, I pray again that you'd bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just give you a little history or background of this particular psalm. This psalm was written for the sons of Korah, who were Levites. And if you remember, the Levites were the priestly tribe of Israel, and they were one of the 12 tribes, and each of the tribes were given a portion of the land of Canaan except for the tribe of Levi. The other 11 tribes, if you will, would go ahead and gather their increase or gather their tithes and bring it to the storehouse. And from the storehouse, the Levites would gather their necessities. There were three families in the tribe of Levi. One was a family of Gershon, which became the Gershonites, okay? And their job was to carry the tent itself, that is the tabernacle. They were to carry the church around. When you think about it, that had to have been a big family, you know what I mean? And that wasn't an easy job. When you think about, boy, where we are today compared to back in the wilderness, I tell you what, something else. But their job, the Gershonites, were to go ahead and be responsible for carrying the tabernacle. And then there was another family, and that was the family of Kohath, and they carried the furniture of the tabernacle. And then another family, and it was a family of Merari, and they carried the boards and the bars, if you will, that went along with, that made up the tabernacle. Kohath, of the family of the Kohathites, if you will, Kohath had a son named Korah, and the family of Korah formed the singers, okay? Now, mind you, this was the priestly tribe, and they formed the singers that were known as the sons of Korah. It's almost like, the church in the wilderness, if you will, the tabernacle. They had their own choir. David, if you will, later on went ahead and formed a great choir from the sons of Korah. So they kind of had their own name and group, if you will, and they were the ones to go ahead and sing praises and sing praises to God and so forth. They'd be the special music, if you will, maybe in the wilderness and so forth. Now this particular psalm was one of them choir specials, if you want to put it that way. Of course, the psalm is a book of songs. And there's so many wonderful songs. I don't know if whatever the choir number, whatever the song was that they sung, I don't know the tune that they sung, if you will, that the sons of Korah sang, if you will, with this particular chapter. But when you look at the words, it's a very, very powerful song. But these psalms, if you will, this psalm was a choir special. The tabernacle was a church in the wilderness, and you know, it's the operation of the church. It was an example, if you will. The tabernacle, the wilderness church, if you will, is an example of how we run our church in the New Testament, the local New Testament church. But I'm going to zoom in tonight on one verse that stuck out to me this week, traveling along and pulling over and was reading through the book of Psalms here some. Came across chapter 84, and I'm going to zoom in on one verse. And tonight, as I mentioned a moment ago, I just want to praise the Lord. And this message, you know, may be bombastic in that. I'm just excited about God. I'm excited about what God is doing, and I just want to praise Him tonight. And I hope, church, that you will have a better look before you leave the doors tonight, that you'll have a better look, if you will, at how good God is. You know, sometimes I know we get real busy, don't we? We do. Our life is just one fast track, if you will. But sometimes we get so busy in our world, and we get so busy in our little world, so to speak, with work and raising the kids and getting the kids off to school and doing everything that's needed to be done, that we sometimes really, even as good godly people, we sometimes really lose focus on how good God is. And so tonight I want to zoom in on a verse here in verse number 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so that's the title of my message, is that last phrase there. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. In other words, the child of God that desires to do right, God's going to take care of you. You know what? I like that. The very fact, you know what? God's not going to bless sin. If you've got some sin in your life tonight, child of God, well, you ought to go ahead and deal with it, because you're not getting the full blessing that God wants to go ahead and give you. But you know what? But you know, the child of God, God blesses you tonight. You know, He's giving you heaven. He's giving you the Bible. He's giving you your family. He's giving you a church. Well, on and on and on. We'll hit some of that along the way. But you know what? In other words, that last phrase there, in other words, the child of God that desires to do right, that lives for the Lord, you know what? God's going to take very good care of you. And you know what? What better person to go ahead and take care of you? Sometimes, you know, we trust the banks, we trust the loan officer, we trust the president, we trust all that. You know, oh, that's man. But you know what? You can always guarantee that God's going to take care of you. You can always guarantee that He's going to pull through for you. You know what? Tonight, I want to speak about the goodness of God to His children. The Bible says, for the Lord is a sun. You know, He's a sun. He brightens your path. You ever had a dark day? We all have had dark days, haven't we? Boy, sometimes it gets so dark and, you know, you don't know just which end is up, so to speak. Maybe you've been frustrated and so forth. But you know, the Bible here is a promise that the Lord is the sun. He brightens your path. He has ability to make your dark day bright. Amen. He has the ability to go ahead and put that spiritual flashlight on things. You know, I talked about this morning about not zooming in on the negatives of people, but accentuate the positives of people and so forth. And don't look at the dark side necessarily, but look at the positive side of your life, if you will. And yes, we have negatives, and yes, we have some hard times, and yes, and so forth. But you know what? We have a God, child of God, that's there for you every single day of your life. He wants to supply your needs. And He wants to take care of you. Why? Because we serve a good God. You know, He knows where you are tonight. He knows, Christian, whether you have a dark path tonight. He knows if you're having a struggle tonight. He knows about maybe you may not be in a struggle right now, but He knows maybe about your struggle tomorrow. But you know what? We can promise that He is the sun. And you know, He can brighten your path. He has ability to make a dark day bright. Amen. Why? Because we serve a good God. You know, then also going right along here, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. You know, a shield is a protector. It's a defense against evil. You know what? The devil can't have you. You're saved. You know what? But sometimes we just go ahead and quit and we kind of loosen up our garb, so to speak, our armor, so to speak. The Bible says put on the whole armor of God. Well, you ought to latch that on tight and make sure you put that on each and every day of your life, because the old devil, he'll get a fiery dart out and he'll find that weak spot. But let me tell you something. The devil doesn't have to go ahead and have you. He doesn't rule your life. If you're saved tonight, you know, he can't have you anymore. But sometimes we're so defeated. We're in our dark path. We fail to understand that God is a brightness, if you will. We fail to understand that he is a sun. He can brighten your path. He can encourage your life. I think of David. Remember when David came back to town? I think it was Ziklag and so forth, and his wives were gone, and the town was captured, and his men's wives were all gone, and everybody wanted to speak of stoning David. But what did David do? Encourage? David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I don't know what he necessarily, you know, David, of course, being a singer and stuff, you know, maybe he was up on the mountaintop there, maybe he was singing songs of Zion, and he was on his knees saying, Lord, I know that you can see me through. My own men want to kill me. My family's gone. The city's burned up. Hey, God, my path is very, very dark. But I think, you know, he encouraged himself because he understood, hey, Lord, you're a son. God, you can brighten my path. And let me just say this, Christian, you know, he'll brighten your path too. You don't have to be in the molly grubs tonight. You don't have to be down and discouraged tonight. Hey, you can go ahead and have a bright light who is God leading you through your path of darkness. Hey, you know, he's a shield. He's a protector. He protects you, if you will, from evil. You know, there's no safer place than being in the hand of God. Amen. The safest place you can be tonight is in God's hand. Don't rebel against him. Don't push him away. Why is it that Christians want to push God away? You know, and by the way, they do. I don't understand it, but they do. You know, God didn't treat me fair, or somebody didn't treat me fair. Again, there you go. You're looking at the negatives again. You're not seeing the positive, so to speak. You're not seeing the treasure, if you will, that is really, really there. But the truth of the matter is, the safest place you can be tonight is in God's hand. Let him go ahead and just shelter you. Let him go ahead and take care of you. You know, the safest place is to be in the will of God. I say it often, but you know, tonight I'm standing right smack dab in the center of God's will. And you know what? Because of that, I know I'm safe. I know I'm safe. I'm right where God wants me to be. I'm pastoring the church God wants me to pastor. I've got the family that he wants me to be a husband to and a dad to. You know, I am right where God wants me to be. You know, I don't want to blow that. I don't want to start getting my own thoughts in here. Well, maybe it's a little, the grass might be greener on the other side of the fence. It necessarily is not. If God is leading you there, great. You'll stay safe. But you know what? It's not necessarily greener. But you know, he's a shield. He's a protector. You know, the safest place is to go ahead and be in the center of God's will. God will go ahead and shield you from harm. He's able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Why? Because he loves you. And we sure do serve a good God. Boy, you know what? You may hear that phrase over and over tonight. We serve a good God. Teenager, we serve a good God. You know, you sometimes think it's not always fair, teenager. It's not always right. Man, you know, I got mistreated or whatever. But you know what? You can always know this. You serve a good God. But don't you lose your eyes upon God. Don't you take your eyes off the Lord. You just keep on pressing on the upward way, young prayer. I'm talking to young people for just a moment. You just keep on serving God. You keep on trusting him. You may not always understand how the world works. You may not always understand why this happens to you. You may not understand why this or why that. But you can always understand that God is there with you every step of the way. You can always understand that he'll shield you and he'll guide you and he'll protect you. Hey, we serve a good God, teenager. Hey, mom and dad, we serve a good God. Yeah, you faced some tough times, haven't you? Oh, yeah, you know what? All of us could testify about a tough time back yonder, a tough time maybe even now or whatever. You know what? And you face some tough times, maybe some financial strain, maybe some health issues, maybe maybe a job issue. I don't know what it is, but you know what? Hey, you place your faith in God. You keep your eyes focused upon the Lord, and God will see you. I love that chorus. We don't sing it a lot around here. I don't know why, but it's a wonderful chorus. He is able. He's able. I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Do you believe that tonight, mom and dad? Hey, church member, do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that if you lost your job, that God is able to carry you through? Yes, I do. You know what? Because he can. Do you believe that when you're facing some health issues, that God will go ahead and see you through? Yes, I do. Because I know that he can heal. I know he'll give you the strength that you need. Hey, do you believe that God can carry you through the financial trials, or maybe some relationship trials or whatever? Hey, do you believe that God is able to carry you through? Yes, I do. We serve a good God. The Bible goes on to say that he gives grace. The Bible says, for the Lord God, in verse 11, I'm just kind of breaking this particular verse down tonight. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. You know, he goes ahead and offers grace. That can mean that means kindness and favor. It can also be considered that he considers us as pleasant and precious. Well, you know what? I'm glad that a dirty, rotten, wretched old sinner who's saved by the grace of God, that God looks down and says to me, you're pleasant in my sight. I thank God for that. I thank God that I'm precious in his sight. I thank God for that. But you know what? When we go ahead and blow it, you know what? He doesn't cast us aside. Well, he offers grace, doesn't he? Boy, thank God for his grace. Thank God that, boy, you know what? We don't have this work salvation that you go ahead and you blow it, man. You're no good. He kicks you out of the way. No. I thank God for the grace of God. As a child, you know, of course, when we do blow it, because he loves us, he's going to chasten us, the Bible says in Hebrews. And we should not go ahead and push aside or resist, if you will, to his chastening. You know, as a child, and you do wrong, as a child of God, if you do wrong, you can count on his rebuke. You can count on him chastening you or spanking you, so to speak, because he doesn't want you to live in sin. He doesn't want you to go ahead and go the way of the world. He wants you to go ahead and trust him, and he will go ahead and rebuke you. You know, if you're living in sin tonight, you're not having the full blessing of God. You know what? It's because you're living in sin. God, listen, he has a whole truckload of blessings he wants to bestow upon you, but it may be that you're not receiving all the blessings simply because there may be something that's not right with your relationship with God. And I ask you, Christian, I'm talking, I think, to Christians tonight, but you know what? You're not perfect, and you know, there may be some things that's kind of a stumbling block in your life. There may be some things tonight you need to go ahead and deal with, and you say, well, you know, preacher, you know, you're right. I don't think I'm being as blessed as I know I could be, simply because the Holy Spirit has a way of shining his spiritual light bulb on that area. You know you ought to get it right. Don't you live in sin? You know, you get that right with God. You know, and by the way, God will take care of it, you're a child of God. He's going to spank you for it. He's going to chasten you. Why? Because we do serve a good God. You know what? I thank God that when I blow it, he does chasten me. The Bible says it proves that he loves me. I thank God that he does. You want to play around with sin, Christian, you know, you better be careful, because God's got his eye on you. He's going to let it only go maybe so far before he kind of reins that back, and he'll pull you back, and he'll do some chastening. He'll take care of that. But you know what? We also know that, but we're focusing on this word grace, you know, his kindness and favor. He's a gracious God. The Bible continues to say that he not only offers grace, but he gives glory. That word means honorable. It can also mean copious, okay? What's that mean? That means yielding something abundantly. You know what? He gives you more than you can imagine. You know what? He has the ability to give you way more than you ever thought of giving. But you know, the problem is we don't trust him enough for it. You know, our faith sometimes gets a little rattled, and we sometimes start thinking, well, God, I don't think quite you quite understand the vastness of this situation in my life. So I think I better take care of this by myself. No, don't go that route. God has the ability to go ahead and take care of that situation. You need to trust him. You need to go ahead and just lay it out to him. You need to just talk to him about it, whatever it is. You may think, you know, the Bible says there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. And it doesn't matter what it is you're facing tonight. You know what? There's nothing too hard for God. Hey, you know why? Because we serve a good God. We're talking about the goodness that God offers. He offers light on a dark day. He offers a shield for protection. Grace, when we go ahead and blow it, he deals with us favorably. Glory, he honors us through his provision. He has the ability to go ahead and take care of you and overwhelm you, so to speak, with his blessings. The Bible goes on to say that he withholds no good thing from them that walk uprightly. The word uprightly in the Hebrew means it's no blemish, and that means you're complete. We are complete in Christ. We are without spot. And that happens when Christ's blood is applied to our sinful position and our sin is placed on Jesus' account. So guess what? Justification takes place. So God looks down through Jesus' blood and says, hey, what sin are you talking about? Hey, you know, I don't see your sin because my son went to the cross. He shed every drop of his blood and he applied his blood to your account. And God the Father says, not guilty. Amen. Boy, that ought to excite you tonight. Yeah, that ought to excite you as a child of God tonight. That you can't work your way to heaven. You can't do all jump through hoops to get to heaven. You can't do any famous performance to get you to heaven. You got to place your faith totally in an almighty God who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And he shed every drop of his blood for you tonight. And God the Father sees you through his son's blood and says, hey, I don't know what sin you're talking about. I see you through Christ, my son's blood, my son's perfect blood. And you're not. I thank God. You know why? Why does he do that? Because we serve a good God. Muhammad's not a good God. I said Muhammad's not a good God. The Islam religion is not a good God. The sun, moon, and stars that people, the New Agers, like to go out there and worship the sun, moon, and stars, they're not a good God. You know, it's the King of Kings that placed them sun, moon, and stars in the sky. But you know what? God Almighty is a good God. He's a good God. Boy, we serve a good God tonight. So because he's good, I was thinking about this week. Because he's so good and God is so good to us. You know, the church, I'm talking about our church now for a moment, needs to give God our best. In everything we do, we ought to be giving God our best. You know, church member, you know what? You ought to give God your best in your church attendance. You ought to give God your best Christian in your Bible reading. You ought to give God, teenager, your best in everything that you do in life. You ought to give God your best in your prayer life. You ought to give God your best in your tithe. You ought to give God your best in everything that you do. You know, I've said it time and time again about this church. You know what? We are to be a righteous church. Not a perfect church. We'll never be a perfect church, but we ought to be a righteous church. A church that is filled with those who desire to do right and learn how to do right. We ought to be a church that's filled with upright people. Righteous people, if you will. And as a result of that, God's going to bless. You know, I think about 22 years of our history, God's been good, hasn't he? He's been real good. You know, I haven't been here that whole 22 years. You know, truth of the matter is, God was honing me for such a time as this back a long time ago. But you know what? All through them years, God gave, at the very start, God gave a vision to a man, Pastor Mitchell. That man came, just rolled up his sleeves, went to work, and of course was able to attain this building and so forth. And then God gave us another man, and God gave us this man right here. And let me just say this all through the history of this church. Hey, church member, God's been good. You know what? It's not hardly a week I go out visiting that I don't talk to somebody. This is no joke. That I do not talk to somebody that's been reached from our church. Somebody, you know, it's amazing. Our bus ministry has had a vast influence around here. And you know, some Pharisee will go ahead and say, well, where are they now? Well, you know, that's none of your, God will take care of that. You know what? God will go ahead and take care of that. But the truth of the matter is, it really blesses my heart to know that, you know, our church has done her job to go ahead and reach people in this area. And we're not going to go ahead and give up. We're not going to just stop and just curl up and die just because, you know, someone wants to yap and you know, it's too much or whatever. I'm not going to go ahead and do that. We're just going to keep on reaching people, amen? We're going to keep on pressing on. We're going to keep on doing the right thing. We're going to be a church that always opens the door to lost sinners, no matter who they are. You know what? We're not to be a respecter of persons. Well, you can come. Oh, wait. How much money do you make? Oh, yeah. Open up the doors. Come on in. How much do you... I got to go to the board and figure that one out. No, you don't have to go to any board. You don't have to. We're going to go ahead and be a church that always opens the doors to lost souls. We're always going to be a church that's soul winning. We're always going to be a church that's on the same page with the pastor. Amen and amen. We're always going to be a church that is filled with blood-bought sinners who desire to do right, live right, and have a clean and wholesome testimony. We ought to be a church that is unstained from the world, providing a haven for lost sinners to get saved and save them from the pit of hell. We ought to be a haven for the discouraged to go ahead and encourage them. We ought to be a place where people can serve God. Boy, it just blesses my heart today that a lot of people around here were serving God this morning, amen? That just encourages my heart. You know, as we were having a service upstairs, there were three services going on downstairs. Three. In this not very big building. Three. Had the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. We had the teen church. We had the junior church. And then we had church up here. That excites me. That excites me. You know, we ought to be a kind of church that's active, just reaching out and helping people, a place that you can serve God. Let me just say this. If you're not serving God, church member, serve God. Find something to do and roll up your sleeve and just find something to do. There's always something to do. There's all kinds of things to do around here. You know what? Maybe you could, you know, I don't say it enough. Maybe you could drive a bus. Maybe you could go ahead and offer a month, you know, we could use some cleaners around here. Come in and clean our building. Maybe you could work in a class. Maybe you could sing in the choir, whatever. But boy, you know, the greatest fellowship I have is a fellowship of working with a fellow soldier of Christ doing the same thing, just working together in the ministry with them. That's great fellowship to me. You know, the greatest thing you can do is find yourself active in the Lord. Greatest thing that you can do is just find yourself serving the Lord in some capacity. Boy, we're going to be a church that lifts up Christ. We're going to be a church that lifts up the King James Bible without apology. We're going to be a church that's directing our young people to just doing the will of God. You want success, young people? You just simply find the will of God and do it. That's success. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're going to be a pastor's wife or an evangelist. It doesn't matter if you're going to be a school teacher. It doesn't matter if you're going to be a plumber. It doesn't matter if you're going to be a carpenter, whatever the case may be. You know what? You want real success. It's not necessarily found. Wow. Where did I get money? I had a couple dollars. My wife's looking at me. I had a couple. It's just a couple dollars, honey. But anyways, she didn't know I had any money on me. But anyway, I didn't either. But just blessings follow from heaven, amen? But you know what? Where do I go from there? But you know, you want success? Just simply find the will of God and do it. That's what success is. It's not necessarily found in a checkbook. It's not necessarily found in a bank, if you will. It's not necessarily found in education. You know, you just simply find the will of God and do it. You got success. You got real success. Boy, we ought to want to give God our very best, personally. You know, not only are we going to be a church that gives God our best, but we personally ought to want to give God our very best. I'm talking about the top 10, our tithing. I'm talking about our missions giving. Boy, we just keep on supporting missionaries. Do you realize we have about 15 missionaries that we are part of their ministry through Faith Promise Missions? Do you realize that people are being saved all around the world as a way of our missions giving, helping missionaries all around the world? We can't go to the mission field, but you know what? We can go ahead and by faith give a portion, if you will, to a missionary or through Faith Promise, and we can have a part of their ministry. Boy, you know what? We need to give God our very best through our finances, if you will. We need to give our God our very best through our mind, through having a clean mind. Bible says in Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, 12:1, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's not too much to ask for God to go ahead and ask for a holy body, for you to present your body a living sacrifice. It's not too much for God to ask for that. Not too much for God to go ahead and ask from you to present your body a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable unto him. You know, you ought to be giving God a clean mind. That's why you need to be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you put in these ears, that junk rock music and everything else out there that pollutes your mind. The mind that you can't, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, if you're going to have the mind of Christ, you cannot have a mind of Christ by pumping it full of junk music and sex music and all kinds of music like that. Hey, you need to have a clean mind, have a clean heart. You know, give God the best of your time, if you will. Make sure that you have time for God each and every day. Every single day, you make sure you set time aside where it's just you and God. You make sure you set your time aside as far as your church attendance. You make sure you set some time aside for your service and your ministry. Boy, you know what? If you're active in the ministry of Faith Baptist Church, you walk into that class, you walk into that ministry already prepared. You know, you shouldn't just go in slipshod. Well, I haven't had time all week, so, you know, you just give your kids the very least that you can give. Boy, you ought to go ahead and give that ministry the very best that you can give. You ought to be thinking, you know, all week long, this is no joke as a preacher. You know, about the time that Sunday night ends, I'm already thinking, Lord, you got to give me something already for next Sunday morning, next Sunday night, and Wednesday. Give me something. I'm already thinking about preaching next week. I'm already thinking about a soul winning this week. As I go out sowing, Lord, give me some soul this week. Direct me to the right doors, God. Help me to help somebody along the way this week. Boy, you know what? Go into your ministry. Go into your service, giving God the very best. Boy, prepare for your ministry. You know, your ministry is your family as well, amen? You know, your ministry is your family as well. As far as I'm concerned, if I don't have my family, I don't have this. You know, my ministry is my family first. And you know what? We need to go ahead and give the very best that we can to our family. Give the best to your spouse. Give the very best that you can to your children. I'm not saying going broke necessarily. I know that a husband and wife, they work together, and your wife's not going to expect more than you can afford, and your husband's not going to expect more than you can afford, and so forth. And your children, you ought to be teaching your children that they should not expect more than mom and dad can afford. Amen. Children, you don't just stop and say this. I'll park here for just a second. You know what? Just because your fellow students beside you wear a pair of Nikes, you know, it doesn't mean that your mom and dad necessarily can go ahead and afford a pair of Nikes, so you quit giving your mom and dad a hard time. Amen. You know what? And I'm not, you know, I'm just saying, you be careful with your mom and dad's money. If they can't afford it, you know, well, you know, we eat generic food, and, you know, they get to go ahead and eat the Lucky Charms and the Fruit Loops and everything, but we have the generic Lucky Charms and Fruit Loops. Thank God that you got sweet cereal, amen? Thank God that you got some food on your table. Thank God for what your mom and dad, that God has given to your mom and dad to go ahead and provide to feed your mouth and your belly, if you will. Well, you know, don't you, just because you may not have the best dress, or you may not have all the fancy clothes, if you will, that somebody sitting next to you in school, doesn't mean you go back to your mom and dad and huff and puff and rebel against them and say, I want this, I want that. You're nothing but a spoiled brat. Amen. You're nothing but a spoiled brat. You know what? If my kids ever done that, and if they ever did, I'd just say, no, tough, go get a job. Say, that's tough parenting. Well, then you don't parent my kids. I guess I don't parent yours. But you know what? I'm teaching my kids to respect their mom and dad and their money. We'll move right along. I guess that was just a little rabbit trail. But you know, it's good. You moms and dads, you know, you children, you take it easy on your mom and dad. You know, I said it this morning. You're to obey, and you're to honor and reverence your mom and dad. Just because you can't have your way doesn't mean you rebel. Huff and puff and get all, you know, by the way, that's not giving your best to mom and dad. And you know what? As a result of you not giving your best to mom and dad, you're not giving your best to God. If your relationships here aren't right, your relationship there will not be right. It won't be. You know what? You've got to go ahead and have your relationships right with God. And you know, you kids, you ought to have your mom and dad. You ought to have a sweet relationship with your mom and your dad. Boy, giving God our best personally. Why should we give God our best? Because we serve a good God. We serve a good God. Let me ask you a question. What did God hold back from us? If you can find me something that he held back. You know what I find that he held back from us? Hell. And we as God's people, we get so selfish. We get so prideful. We're almost like spiritual little babies, if you will. We wah, 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 wah. If God doesn't go ahead and give us what we think we need. And the truth of the matter is, Christian, God's held nothing back. When you think of that, the picture of that whole cross, everything that happened surrounding that cross right there, God held nothing back. When you think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Right there in a nutshell, you can find out real quick that God held nothing back. So why is it do we hold back on him? Why do we cut out our church time? Why do we become lackadaisical in our ministry? Why do we become lackadaisical or maybe even real weak in our Bible reading? Why do we push our prayer time aside? Why don't we go soul winning and have a burden for the lost souls? And I believe when Jesus was dying on that cross, he saw me. He saw you. And why can't we have a burden like Jesus did? You know, Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he died alone on that tree for you and I. And we ought to thank God that he did. Just what did God hold back? Nothing. But why do we hold back? Why do we hold back giving him the very best? God understands we're not a perfect people. He understands our shortcomings full well. That's why we need to walk with him every day and confess our sin every day and nurture our relationship with him every day. But let me tell you something. Why isn't it when a God that gave us his very best, he withheld nothing from them that walked uprightly? But why is it that we hold back? I don't have time for that service, but that one I can go to. Or I don't have time for that ministry. I don't have time for soul winning. I'll get to my Bible reading when I have a time. I'll get to my prayer life when I have time. I'll do this when I have time for God, whatever. You know what? And God went ahead and said, I gave all to you. Why can't we go ahead and sing that song like we mean it? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. Can we sing that song, that great old song, like we mean it? And you know what? God's never held anything back. And we shouldn't either. If anything, we ought to be increasing in our faith. If anything, we ought to be walking with God more now than we were yesterday. If anything, we ought to be having a burden more for lost souls now than we did even yesterday. If anything, our prayer life ought to be there ought to be more prayer time in your prayer closet today than it was yesterday. But we have a tendency to go ahead and hold back. Why is it do we hold back? I'm glad that he didn't hold back on us. He gave us his very best. You know why? We serve a good God. We serve a good God. I ask you, are you too busy to recognize his goodness this evening? Because, you know, sometimes we can get too busy. I'm just saying too busy. And if you're too busy for God, let me just say this, you're too busy. Sometimes we go ahead and we fail to recognize his goodness because we're too busy. You know, I thank God for what God has given me. And you know, I'm preaching the choir. Sometimes I can get real busy that I don't spend the adequate time with God that I should, even as a pastor. I'm being transparent a minute. But you know, I thank God for weeks like this when you have no power. Sometimes you have no choice. You know, there's nothing much you could do. Unless you went to some packed out restaurant somewhere and where they had Wi-Fi so you could go ahead and get the screens on again and so forth. But you know, it was kind of, in a way, it was kind of nice to have everything slow down a little bit just so you can think on God a little bit. Of course, I wasn't around for all the power outage, so to speak, but you know, but I had 17, 18 hours where just me and God. And I thank God for that. You know, I just was thanking God for my church. Thank God for the ministries of our church and the impact that our church has had through these 22 years. I thank God that I get to pastor the greatest people in the world. Thank God for my home. I thank God for my car. Thank God for the clothes on my back. I thank God for my health. Thank God for my beautiful wife. I thank God for my wonderful children. Thank God for my Bible. I thank God for my job. I thank God for my Christian friends, and on and on and on and on and on. And your list could go on and on and on and on, because we serve a good God. And he's held nothing back. I ask you tonight, what are you holding back? What are you holding back? Psalms 84, I just want to read our text one more time. Psalms 84, I just want to read it. You know, he gave us his grace. He gave us glory. He gave us favor. He's a sun, boy. He'll brighten your day. He's a shield. There's no good thing. There's no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Christian, you know what? He's held nothing back. Truth of the matter is, you may not see it through your pride and selfishness or whatever, but you know the truth of the matter is, you know, he's got a whole lot of things that he can offer you. He's held nothing back. He's given it all. You know what he wants from you? Why don't you give me all? I'm talking about God, but why don't you give him all? Why don't you give him all that you got? You know, yes, you tire. Yes, you get weary. And yes, you need rest and so forth. But you do everything you can to give him all you got, spiritually speaking, from a personal standpoint. He has never held anything back from you. Why? We serve a good God. God is so good. Sing it. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. One more time. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He's held nothing back from you because we serve a good God. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for tonight, God. We thank you for your love and goodness to us, Lord. God, I thank you for you provide everything we need. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't want it because of our pride and selfishness. And I pray maybe we would break down that pride and that selfishness and just look through the spiritual eyeglasses and realize we serve a good God. You've never held nothing back. I pray tonight that we as your people, we wouldn't hold anything back from you, that we would do our best, our very best, sincerely, and give us all to you. I pray, God, that you'd bless. Thank you for this message. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your love. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Jesus. Just thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for being a good God. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. If God spoke to your heart, the music's going to play in just a moment. Don't linger. If God spoke to your heart tonight, maybe you're holding something back, church member, Christian, teenager, child. Maybe you're holding something back. God wants you tonight. Boy, if God spoke to your heart, the pianist's going to play. Won't you go ahead and move?
All right, let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for church, Lord. I can't thank you enough for this place, for, Lord, for our preacher, for your word and everything that goes on here on a Sunday and Wednesday and even on Tuesday, Lord. And I just thank you for it. And Lord, we need it. And I just thank you for it. Lord, I bring these prayer requests before you for Alan, for him to feel better, for Frank with what's going on with him, Lord, for Stephanie's grandmother who broke her ribs. You'd bring her healing quickly, Lord. And For Brandon's grandmother, who's been going through this sickness for a while, Lord, you bring healing there. For Lindsay, with what she's going on with her as well, Lord. And for Donald and Marissa, you'd be with them as they, Lord, seek your will, and you'd open doors and you'd provide for them to get out to where you'd have them work, Lord. And Lord, you just bless their family and all that goes on there, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for the ministries of this church. Thank you for the bus ministry, the teens, and Lord, again, everything that goes on here. And thank you for being a good God and merciful and so good to us, Lord. I thank you. And please dismiss us, bring us back safe on Wednesday. In Jesus' name, amen.